It's Remembrance Sunday. We're here to remember the sacrifices of those who gave their lives for our freedom. It's a day really for us to remember, to give thanks. It is a day for us to remember and to be thankful for the freedom that we have. When you think about the world as it is today, there are loads of places where freedom is just a dream. There are people who are oppressed by their governments, by guerrilla factions, by so many different things. While modern day Christians may not have it easy as such in certain countries, in this country, we have a freedom that we should be thankful for. The Bible tells us in Psalm 105, verses 1 to 8, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. He always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, that's an awful long time, isn't it? He is faithful. Today we give thanks for our freedom. Today we give thanks for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can meet together this day, and we praise you for the freedom that we have in Christ. We thank you that when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. We thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you. We thank you that we can approach you this morning, not as aliens, not as foreigners, but as your children. And thank you that you've called us to worship you today. We praise you for everything that you're doing in our lives, for everything that you're doing in our church. And we ask that you would help us to worship you today in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
The title of my sermon this morning is Truth That Transforms. A remembrance of sacrifice and freedom. On Remembrance Sunday, we gather to honour the sacrifices made by those who were willing to fight for our freedom and to remember the values that those people stood for. For us, it's a time of reflection, gratitude, and reverence. And remembering is not just about looking back to what's gone before. But it's also about envisaging a future shaped by the lessons that have come from the past. Today on Remembrance Sunday, may we recognise the reality of the sacrifices that have been made. May we draw inspiration, may we embrace our responsibilities, and also we need to remember with reverence what has actually taken place. The first point is remembering the reality. We need to think about what really happened. The First World War was a long time ago, but it's not just that war that we remember. Throughout history, there has been wars. Right now, today, there are wars taking place. There are conflicts where men and women are involved. They have to show courage beyond all measure, endure hardships and dangers to secure the freedom of those that they are fighting for. The dedication of those people, their bravery, and ultimately their sacrifices should never be forgotten. As we reflect on Psalm 105, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness," we need to remember that God is sovereign. Over everything that's happening in this world, there is nothing that's happening that has taken God by surprise. Putin didn't declare war on the Ukraine, and God didn't turn around and say, "I never expected that to happen." God knew the plans of man. And somehow, through what's going on there in Russia and the Ukraine, God's purposes are being worked out. Our human minds cannot grasp why God would allow certain things to happen. Yet he does, because he has far more intelligence and knowledge and understanding than we will ever have. So in all circumstances, we need to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We need to give thanks to the Lord because he is great. We need to remember that our God is still in control. Even when the circumstances seem difficult, even when things seem terrible, the covenant that God has made with his people in Jesus Christ will endure for every generation. Charles Spurgeon once said this: "We have a great God with great purposes and great promises. We should not be living small lives." I think there is a danger that in our Christian walk, in our daily lives, we think of things in a small way. We think about perhaps the influence that we might have over a circumstance or situation. We think about what we might be able to do, when actually what we need to be doing is trusting in what God is able to do. Because as far as we're concerned, God can do the impossible. Maybe you've been praying about the situation in Ukraine. Maybe you've been praying about what's going on in Israel and Gaza. Continue to wrestle with God that his purposes would be fulfilled by what's taking place. Continue to pray for safety. Continue to pray that God will speak into people's lives, and that even in the midst of these difficulties, that people will seek Jesus and find him for themselves. Let's not live small prayer lives. Prayer should be the centre of everything that we do, friends. Yesterday, after the annual church meeting, we broke off into little discussion groups to talk about where we want to be as a church. And an overwhelming response was that we should be a church grounded in prayer. That prayer should be the centre of what we do. Because if we're not seeking God's will, if we're not seeking his purposes, how can we expect God to bless us if we don't know what he is saying or calling us to do? Today we honour the sacrifice of those who have gone before us. We acknowledge the great works of our God. We acknowledge the one who sustains us in every season of life. And we do go through seasons in life, don't we? I don't know where you feel you are in your Christian walk at the moment. Maybe you're in the spring and everything is blooming and you've got the sense that there is so much yet to come. Or maybe you're in the summer and the heat of the world kind of pressing in. But it's the heat of that refiner's fire that changes us and transforms us and makes us ready for heaven. Or maybe you're in the autumn time and you feel like the leaves are falling off. That what was once blooming and certain and beautiful has been transformed into a different kind of beauty, a different kind of walk. Or perhaps your Christianity at the moment is in deep midwinter. You're almost frozen solid in your walk. The ice crystals are forming. But don't worry, spring is coming. The thaw is coming. And we'll go through that cycle again. God is able to sustain us in every season when we allow him to move. And that's the key. He doesn't force himself on us. He expects us to willingly submit to his will and his purpose and his plan. Second point, remembering inspires gratitude. Remembrance should stir within us a profound sense of thankfulness. Just as we're thankful for those who sacrificed themselves for our earthly freedom, we must remember the ultimate sacrifice of our Saviour, the one who laid down his life for our freedom, the one who laid down his life for our eternal freedom. Galatians 5:1 declares this: "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free." And yet so many of us put back on that yoke of slavery. We can be in bondage to so many different things. There are so many things that can stop us from fully experiencing the freedom that we have in Christ. It could be something simple. It could be a habit or a hobby that keeps drawing us back and distracts us from fully worshipping God. It could be something that we do, something that we think, something that we're allowing into our lives that stops us experiencing that true freedom that is in Christ and in Christ alone. Our freedom is not something we should dismiss. It's not something we should put aside. It's not something that we should ignore, because our freedom is the most precious gift that God could ever give us. the freedom from punishment, the freedom from the consequences of our sins. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are set free. Some of you are happy with that this morning. We should be the happiest people on the planet. We have been set free from the burden of our sins. We have been redeemed. We have been saved. And yet, sometimes we struggle to just show the joy that we should have in the Lord. John Wesley observed, "I value all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity." Our salvation is already paid for. Its value is more than we can determine. The love that God has for each and every one of us right now is more than we can grasp. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, I'm sure he loves you. You in the back? Yeah? Even you. He loves. Don't thank me, thank him. There's nothing about us that makes us worthy. There's nothing about us that makes us lovable. Yet God chooses to love us. It's an incredible sense that we have such a value to God. A value that we can't begin to fathom, but we'll have the whole of eternity to thank him for it. The sacrifice of Christ, the eternal worth, the gratitude that we should have, that should change the way that we live. We should live with an attitude of love, with an attitude of mercy, because that is what God has poured out on us in Christ Jesus. Third point, rejoice in our freedom. In Jesus, we find that our future, our freedom is secured by the promised Messiah, the one who has restored our relationship with God the Father, the one who has taken the burden of our sins upon himself at the cross, the one who has defeated death through his resurrection and redeemed us. We need to rejoice in the freedom that because of Jesus we are forgiven, because of Jesus we are freed, because of Jesus we are assured of a place in heaven. It's not an if, it's not a but, it's not a maybe. We are assured of a place in heaven when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Deuteronomy 31:6 offers us this reassurance. For the Lord your God will neither fail you nor abandon you. Has anyone ever failed you in life? Has anyone ever promised to do something and then not delivered? Have you ever promised to do something and then not delivered? I'm sure all of us have fallen short of the standards that we set ourselves. And we've fallen short of God's standard. And yet, in his mercy, in his grace, he still reaches out to us, reaches down to us to draw us close to him. Because of Jesus, the Lord will never abandon us. Even in the moments of adversity, God's presence is with us. God's comfort is with us. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The Lord's mercy often rides to the door of our heart upon the black horse of affliction." Maybe a little bit Victorian in its expression, but you get the idea. Affliction, the evil one, will attempt to distract our hearts, distract our minds from truth. But the Lord is there with us, even when we face affliction, even when we face difficulty. Even in suffering, we can find God's mercy through Christ. We can experience true freedom and true hope when we place all of our trust in Jesus. Fourth point, recognize our responsibility. Freedom is a gift, but it comes with a great responsibility. Just as those who fought for our earthly freedoms took the responsibility to protect and preserve us and others, we are called to safeguard and extend the freedoms that we have. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Somewhere, somehow, the modern Christian church seems in some places to have forgotten how to serve each other. There are churches throughout this world that are full of passengers and not participants. People who go to church to get out what they can from being in the church, rather than seeking to give God what is God's, rather than seeking to serve their brother or sister in the Lord. But there are those churches and there are those people who are active participants, who spend time in prayer, who spend time in practical service. Here's something really scary that all of us could do. On a Sunday, every single one of us could take the opportunity to stand at the door and just smile at someone as they arrive. I mean, that probably scares some of you. I mean, yeah, the only time you smile was when... How often do you smile? Do you smile at things that will make God happy? Or there are some people who just don't stop smiling. My nan used to have a wonderful saying, my old Jewish grandmother. People who smile all the time don't know what's going on. I've met people like that. I've met people who seem to be so happy that it is like they're detached from reality. And then I've met those who are in Christ, who love the Lord, and yet have an inner joy, an inner peace that cannot be shaken. And they're not the kind of people who necessarily walk around always with a smile on their face, but you can certainly see that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And I wish more of us were like that. I wish more of us could express that pure, unadulterated joy that we have in Jesus Christ. I mean, we have the responsibility to recognise what Christ has done, but we've also got a responsibility to actually show that God has made a difference in our lives. And if you walk around looking like someone's just smacked you over the head with a kipper, or poked you in the eye with a stick of celery, you're not necessarily going to make other people interested in knowing why are they so happy? Why are they so joyful? Even in the midst of the worst circumstances, we should have peace and we should have joy in our Lord. We're called to safeguard the joy that we have, safeguard the peace that we have. We're called to extend our joy and our peace to others. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The Apostle Paul here, our freedom is more than just for us. It is for others as well. Let's stand up and embody the freedom that we have. Martin Luther King once said this, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. So true. Our enemies will say things against us. There are those who are quick to anger, quick to speak, quick to just lash out with something that they may say is just banter, when actually what they're doing is throwing daggers and knives. And we should never be in a place where someone is confused by what we say. Yes, we can have a laugh and joke with one another. Yes, we can be playful with one another in what we say. But we should never say that which brings someone else down. We're meant to be elevating Christ. We're meant to be elevating the Word of God. We are meant to be speaking truth and life and light into the darkness. And if we're busy ripping each other apart with banter, that's not bringing glory to God. Let's not be silent. Let's speak up. Let's speak to one another in love, in grace. Let's share and be thankful for the freedom and the joy that we have in Christ. Let's worship our Lord together. Fifth point, remember with reverence. Final point, don't worry, it's not going to go on for another hour. Remembrance should never become just routine or casual reflection. Just like prayer should never be just routine. Prayer is meant to be conversation with God. Prayer is meant to be speaking and also listening to what God has to say. And so often there are people who fall into the trap of being religious in prayer. We need to think about what we say. We need to recognise that we're talking to our Saviour. We're talking to our Father. We're talking to our Lord. We should never just do it out of duty or automatically. Prayer is a solemn act. Remembrance is a solemn act. As we remember those who sacrificed themselves for us, we also have a commitment to uphold the values that they fought for: freedom, truth, justice. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, we're reminded of this. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. King is lowercase. It's the earthly kings, queens that we're meant to respect. But God deserves our ultimate respect, our ultimate allegiance. Above any earthly king, above any earthly thing, God should be respected. And we should respect one another. We should love one another. Some of you are really hard to love. I'm really hard to love. I mean, I've known me for 55 years. I know how bad I am. And yet God calls us to love one another with his love. Friends, we've been loved much. When we deserved wrath, we were given mercy. When we deserved hate, we were given love. The word of God is incredible. There is no greater love than one who would lay down his life for a friend. That verse always strikes me because, to me, the way that Jesus should have phrased that was, there is no greater love than for one who will lay down his life for his enemy. Because that's what Jesus did. While we were his enemies, while we were his foes, while we did not know him, that is when he chose to die for us. That is an incredible love that we cannot begin to grasp. I mean, maybe you'd lay down your life for your friend. I mean, maybe Megan would happily sacrifice herself for Brittany if she knew that she could be safe. But some random person walking by in the street that you'd never met, that might be a bit longer of a decision curve. But there are those who will sacrifice themselves for people they have never met. They're called soldiers. They're called sailors. They're called airmen. Yet Christ definitely gave himself for those who did not know him. And all we have to do is come to know him as Lord and Saviour, to have reverence for Jesus, to respect what he has done, to be thankful for what he has done, to repent from our sin and turn to him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a man during the war who knew the cost of resistance. He said this: silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. If we don't say anything, if we're silent, when we see an injustice taking place, that is a bad thing, to remain silent. To speak up for the helpless, to speak up for the homeless, to speak up for those who are marginalised by society, that is what God calls us to do. We need to live by the values that God calls us to live by. In conclusion, on this Remembrance Sunday, let's remember the sacrifices of those who fought for our freedom. Let's not forget the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we reflect, as we think, let's be inspired. Let's be grateful. Let's be ready to embrace the responsibilities of the freedom that we have. Friends, today we think about those who have lost their lives, but we also look to the cross. We honour what Christ has done to set us free. We're thankful for the freedom that we have, and we need to recognise that God calls us to be agents of change, to be active, to point others to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Today, as we conclude, let's give thanks for those who were willing to sacrifice themselves for us. Let's remember the cost, the price that has been paid for our freedom. And let's hold fast to that promise of eternal life that is ours in Christ and Christ alone. Megan, will you close for us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you so much for sending your Son to be our sacrifice, Lord God. But Father, we thank you for the selfless people that gave their lives as a sacrifice, Lord. Father, we cannot imagine what they had to endure, what they had to go through. And really, Lord Jesus, you went first. You went first to sacrifice yourself. You know what it feels like to be stricken. You know what it feels like to be in pain. You know what it feels like to go through the shadow of death. And Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for your goodness and we're thankful for your grace. And Father, just pray for a blessing upon everyone here today. And as Dean said, Lord, that we wouldn't just forget, but we would remember, not just the sacrifice of those that went before, but Father, the sacrifice of your Son Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.